From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 18th day of June. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzlow. He's at GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. And Eric Snodgrass will join us from Agribal and Nutrien Ag Solutions to discuss the agricultural weather forecast.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
July corn today at $6.55 and a quarter, up 22 and a quarter cents. September settled 29 higher at 577 and a half. And December futures, new crop up 33 and three quarters at 566 and a quarter. July beans, 66 and a quarter higher at $13.96. November at $13.13. Up 60 and a quarter. The bean meal, $11.90 higher. The bean oil up $1.55 for the day. July wheat up 23 and three quarters. It settled at 662 and three quarters. For the soft red, the hard red up 21 and a quarter at 606 and a half. And spring in the September, a dime higher at $7.66 and a quarter on the afternoon. Cattle futures finished 45 cents higher. Hogs were up, or rather down, 52 and a half. And pork bellies were off 47 and a half cents for the day. Mike Zuzlow now joins us from GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas, to discuss what happened in the marketplace. Thanks, Mike, for being with us. What an extraordinary 2 days. I think I want to start with the December corn contract in Chicago at the CME Group, because while it had a limit down day yesterday and traded expanded limits today, it managed to put an outside up day in today. That was just extraordinary in my mind. I'm wondering how important that might be for you and how you're putting this together for your clientele.
Yeah, I mean, it was extremely important to have the type of turnaround that was led by the corn that we had today. We also saw that, you know, while the corn was by far in the December up 6.5% on the day, Todd, we also saw the bean oil try and make some gains back, and that helped the July beans as well to get like a 5% retracement back up on the day. I guess how I would boil it down is, if this market is going to start trading weather, and I think it is starting to trade weather after Thursday's slaughter, I think that it's probably going to start in the corn and then in the spring wheat. I think that's where if the oats and the spring wheat and the corn would all lead the market higher, I think that would give us the footprint or the identity maybe of the weather coming in terms of the market starting to become more worried about weather, more worried about supply. Now, not to rain on this parade of today, but to be, you know, as realistic as possible, we did see the overall market look a lot weaker coming off its highs late in the afternoon. And that was on confirmation of China purchasing up to at least 8 cargoes of U.S. soybeans. This was broken about around 12:45 Central Time by Reuters, and it was an exclusive on Reuters. And so they're talking about the Chinese buying more, as much as they bought in about 4.5 months of U.S. soybeans. So to see the market break back and give up the gains that we had made on confirmation of this across the board, I wasn't real pleased with. And that just keeps me very, very cautious and very, very nervous as we go into next week. I think the U.S. dollar strength is something with the Federal Reserve that I've talked a lot about. That's the primary issue, that the inflation traders probably are not going to be as strong backbone as they have been to date.
Well, let's just deal with the 15 days. Less than that now, to the June 30 reports, grain stocks and acreage numbers. And producers probably have that time, I would guess, maybe to make another stab at marketing both corn and soybeans, should they?
Yeah, I think they do. I think this is where the market, I think, is set up now. If we can find support, it's going to be weather-related support. It's going to be, I think what happened Friday, a big reason why we turned around on Friday was not just the Chinese news, because that came out late. I really think we swung back around and looked at Thursday's drought monitor and Thursday's agriculture report in terms of what's in drought. And when you see 65%+ of Iowa's corn and beans in drought and 100-degree temperatures and, you know, not a lot of wide-ranging or widespread
rains overnight in Iowa, and so you I think you got the market back together to realize that the supply is falling, and it's not. We don't have the national yield going up right now, Todd. I think we have it going down, and I think that's important to the hedger at this stage of the game, and that's why I think that as long as the weather remains and keeps the macro negative bull on the defensive, we can't have a retracement. But again, I think it's got to be led by corn and spring wheat, especially spring wheat. I don't know why spring wheat, with 17% good to excellent conditions in South Dakota right now, why the spring wheat market isn't back up to its monthly high of 843.5 right now.
Yeah, so we'll be watching all of that closely. Over the weekend, we're supposed to get rainfall. What happens if we do get it? And what happens if we don't get it?
Yeah, I think if we don't get it, you know, you definitely, I think at this stage, regardless of which way it goes, because I don't think everybody's going to get it. So I think that's a fair assessment. And we have to remember we're in June, we're not in July. So we still have the hottest month of the year probably ahead of us unless we have an abnormal year. So no matter how you slice it on the weather, I think everything you do in hedges needs to be done on paper with bought puts. Would not recommend selling futures, would not recommend buying futures. This is just too volatile a market to be playing in the futures market, if you ask me, because I'm not sure many people could hang on to these types of swings without getting blown out. And that was with, you know, we just found out that the Merck is going to raise margins again by, I think, 9.5% on corn and maybe the same on beans as of Friday's close. So hedge, but do it with bought puts. Don't do cash sales, and that way you don't have to worry about your yield. You don't have to worry about your basis and having a volatile swing there. If you don't get the rains, I don't know why the market wouldn't go on higher and essentially not even look towards the acreage and grain stocks report, because to me, the fact that China bought beans, the fact that we, you know, saw some corn sales again this week, to me it would make sense that the end user would have to come off the sidelines.
All right. So a couple of things about the CME group in general. Of course, we have had some expanded limits for both corn and soybeans. Those won't be in play. Well, I guess they will be in play on Monday for corn, but not for soybeans, correct?
Yeah, I think that's right. I haven't settlements yet, but I think that's right.
Yeah, and then I want you to, and they're 40 cents and a dollar, so you 1.5 times each of those for the expanded limits. But I do want you to discuss what the change in the ability of individual entities to have larger sizes of positions has done to the marketplace.
Yeah, I mean, this is where the momentum trading, where you hit sell stops or where you take out a major trend line and where you have algo or computer-generated trading, really comes into play. And I really do think that if we would do a forensic examination of Thursday's trade and the extended limit down close on the bean oil of 5.5 cents and the market trying to push the soybeans down on extended limits to $1.50 but not getting quite there, I really think that was at the heart and soul of what happened. And I think it really was it was triggered by the Federal Reserve policy. And as we talked about last week, it was triggered by still the uncertainty about the U.S. energy biofuel policy and then China continuing to work on their commodity and commodity index markets by, you know, changing the structure of them. And that was something that broke on Thursday midday as well. So these macro, we always talk about between you and I, Todd, funds and fundamentals. And to put a more precise point on it or a finer point on it, the funds, when I say that, it means it's still fundamentals, but it's probably macro-related fundamentals like monetary policy or like trade policy or things like that. But the macro side, to me, is still much stronger, and it's still a supply-driven market to the upside than it is a demand-driven.
Hey, thank you.
My pleasure. Have a nice weekend, and happy Father's Day to you and all the great dads out there.
Hey, the same to you. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's with GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. Well, over the noon hour each Friday, I have a conference call with the Commercial Ag Extension Specialist in the state of Illinois, Emerson Nafziger, state agronomist, usually gives an update of where he thinks things are across Illinois, and he did that this week. Here's an excerpt of what Emerson had to say.
Pretty much in a waiting pattern, waiting for rain, I guess, more than anything. I probably didn't emphasize it as much as I could have in the soybean one, but boy, there are fields around here that, you know, aren't hand high yet, and they were planted 6 weeks ago. I think dry surface soils, soybeans have a lot of trouble getting their roots down when the soil's drying out, and I think that's mostly what we're seeing. Some of them are, one of them close to where I sit here, it isn't intercepting 20% of the sunlight today. And we've had the soybean crop in pretty poor shape in late June before. I think 2017 was one of those years due to just a rocky start, but then it came along and did fine. But, you know, it's always every year's different. And I just, in my mind's eye, I'm seeing this crop, you know, and if it rains, if we get widespread rains here in the next few days, a lot of this is going to get fixed. But we're losing the best days of the year here. As a matter of fact, just curiosity, you know, I think it was it Tuesday or Wednesday, was, you know, sunshine all day long. And if you look at the ICN map on solar radiation, I don't think it's ever been that high for the state for a given day. That accumulate, that the units for that are megajoules per meter squared. And it was 33 at Bonneville, which probably is theoretically just about as high as it can ever be. And these are the longest days of the year, of course. But, you know, just if you, our normal accumulation, monthly accumulations, which you can see in the, on the warm network data from all the 17 monitoring sites, is generally for a good sunny month is probably around 800. And 33 per day would make it over 1,000, would make it 1,000. So that sort of gives it to you. And these are, you know, our corn crop has come to the point where it's really able to take advantage of that. In fact, the day that we had that, you know, where the crop had moisture was probably one of the, well, the canopy is not intercepting all of the sunlight yet, but in our corn that was planted in late April here is about chest high now. And it's intercepting more than 90%. And so that just gives you a little perspective on where things are at. I think the corn crops, you know, turns out to be off to a considerably better start than the soybean crop. And it's not all easy to explain. Let me be quick to say, though, that the soybean fields, the best ones here, there's one that is on Animal Sciences in 15-inch rows, and it's pretty much closed the canopy. So we have our early planted soybeans here that have broken through that sort of barrier. My colleague at Purdue called it, I think, Russ, you were on, he called it that awkward age of V2, V3, where it seems to be just sitting there and then it sort of bursts forth with leaf area. And that just hasn't been happening very much with a lot of fields. And they've been in the field long enough that we would really like to see that. So we're, you know, I'm not going to call a problem yet.
That was Emerson Navsiger, Illinois State Extension agronomist, speaking to the Commercial Ag Extension educators during our regular Friday conference over the noon hour earlier today. We're now joined on this Friday afternoon by Eric Snodgrass at Nutrient Ag Solutions and Agrible. Thanks, Eric, for being with us. Let's start with the severe weather across the United States. It is bringing with it some rainfall, but some potential dangers as well. Can you give me an update?
Yeah, you know, the thing we're concerned about right now is with the heat that we've had, this crop is growing fast. It's shooting out of the ground, especially in those places that do have good soil moisture. And so we all know when this time of year you start to get the crop growing fast, that any sort of strong wind from a thunderstorm can really, you know, do some damage. So watching again tonight on Friday night for severe weather on this stalled out boundary that yesterday went through parts of Wisconsin and northern Illinois. Well, it's going to stall out right in the middle of the state, stretch over to Indiana and Ohio. And Storm Prediction Center is watching it closely. And biggest concern is just going to be on those straight line winds and also some hail. So we're just at that time period where it could be, you know, really a problem if it does come through. But you get the good with the bad, right? I mean, there's some fields in there that desperately need this rainfall. We just like to have it come with those slower winds, I guess.
I guess that over the next couple of weeks, a lot of places may get some rainfall, or is that really in the offing?
Yeah, well, that's the question. So when you look at some of the model output, the answer to that would look like yes. And the cause for this is that over the Aleutian Islands, there's a deep trough, and therefore there's a large ridge just next to it. And what that's done is that's building a trough. It's kind of a reflection of that pattern over the Great Lakes. Now, we know what troughs are. They bring in cooler and unsettled weather. So for some reason, we end up draping this boundary, this front through the Corn Belt. Well, what do fronts do? They lift the air. You lift the air that's got plenty of Gulf moisture in it, you tend to get rain. The models will produce that, but we have to remember that not everybody's going to be able to get a drink. And then the bigger issue is, what does it mean for those places in the Western Corn Belt where the subsurface soil moisture is so extremely low? You know, we were talking this morning, it's going to take, I don't know, 45 days, 60 days of an inch and a half a week to completely revive those soils and guarantee a good crop. And so if we don't see that kind of rainfall for the next, well, 45 plus days, the risk is still there longer term. But I will say this, while we got some heat pouring on today, wait until you see the temperatures next, like Tuesday. Talking highs, low 70s, but that won't last long, but it's going to be cooler for a short while in there. So yeah, this next couple of weeks, I think, is going to be most critical to see how the pattern established so we know what the heck is coming into the month of July.
Well, have you got an idea yet?
I have ideas, and that's what I think they are. So, you know, when I look out there, there's pretty good guidance that suggests that the cool down is going to be brief that we've got coming in. In other words, it's not just going to last through July and save us. And overall, there's still risk of the jet stream going back to the north and staying there. And what I want everybody to watch is watch the Aleutian Islands. If we start to build a big ridge over the Aleutian Islands, the west coast has the trough, and the midsection of the country has the ridge, the heat, and the potential for drought development. The only caveat to all of this is nothing at this point seems to want to close off the Gulf of Mexico, which we know right now is opening up to that tropical system, which could be called Claudette by the end of the day, that's going to put down a bunch of heavy rain over the mid-south, the southern coast, the deep south, all the way to the Carolinas. And that's a place where they want to get rid of the water, whereas the west coast is desperate for it, given the heat they're going to see there. So I think all of these things are going to move over the next couple of weeks, and we're going to start off July with a new picture of what this summer's going to look like.
Speaking of moving, let's move across the planet to the other side of the world. Give me an update on crop conditions in China, please.
Yeah, so I've been watching a lot of things carefully with China because we had some early concern about some drought issues. Temperatures are not too hot right now. And when you look at the precip pattern, they're getting just enough rain to not cause much of a worry. So you're not hearing much about China because there's not much of a story that would tell you that it's too far away from normal at this point. So that's one area that I think we'll watch later for possible problems. But at this point, doesn't look too terrible.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Eric Snodgrass is with Nutrien Ag Solutions and joined us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can find us online, listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org, willag.org. There you'll find our daily agricultural programming, including our Commodity Week program that's there in its entirety right now for you to listen to. Many of these radio stations will carry it over the weekend, and if you can stay with us on our home station, you'll hear it this afternoon. Right here on Illinois Public Media. Again, that's Commodity Week, our weekly look at what's been happening for the world of agriculture.